Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning, and what a blessing that was, and what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. I trust that you have sensed the presence of the Lord in this place. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter 27, Proverbs chapter 27, we're going to read verse 1. As most of you study the book of Proverbs, you know most of the Proverbs are antithetical statements, and each verse will stand alone with the truth that God has for us. And so if you would stand with me, we'll read Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Let's read that one more time. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you for the privilege it's been just to be in church. We thank you for what we've already received. Thank you for your presence in this place. And now, Father, as we look into your word, I just pray that you'd help us to receive this truth, this biblical principle that you teach us in this verse in Proverbs. Pray that you would just use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we read this verse in the book of Proverbs, can I tell you that we need to know that no man can see into the future. No matter what they might say to you, no matter what they might present, realize no man can actually see into the future. It's only seen by an almighty God. It's proof of that in that we have seen the prophecies that God has given to us and given to the prophets of the Bible, the Old Testament, knowing what was going to come to pass, and we already have seen those prophecies come to pass. And so from the scriptures, we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God can see into the future. We understand the attributes of God. He is eternal. He sees everything past, present, and future, all things. And so we know that no man can see into the future, but God can. A biblical proverb is given by God to impart spiritual wisdom. If you have a biblical proverb, if you study the book of Proverbs and you learn a biblical principle taught, then it is to impart spiritual wisdom so we can respond and act based upon the truths of God. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1 warns us of something that we should not do. Boast not. This is a warning from an almighty God with this biblical principle here. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. That's something we should not do. Boast of our tomorrows. Based on the second part of this proverb when he says, "For thou knowest not," for you and I, we do not know. We cannot see into the future. We have expectations possibly. We think we have it all worked out, but realize this one thing that the Bible says, the reason we should not boast of our tomorrow is based upon this truth that "For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Now, as in all biblical principles given to us in the Old Testament, we find New Testament scriptures to verify that biblical principle. And if you would at this time now, turn with me to the book of James. In the book of James in chapter 4, it is given to us to help us to understand this proverb, this biblical principle, presented in the book of Proverbs and taught in the New Testament, book of James in chapter 4. James in chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says this, "Go to now." Now, if you would, that is Old English telling us, come on now. It says, "Come on now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Have it all planned out. Whereas, verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So there's two parts to the message I want to preach to you. We're still studying. It's based on Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. And so the first part of that proverb that God has given to us is, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Something he does not want us to do. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. James chapter 4 and verse 13 helps to explain the first part of this proverb when he says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will. This is our plans. We will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. There again, it's all planned out. Verse 15, for that ye ought to say, instead of boasting of your tomorrow, having it all planned out in your own head, for what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. If you're not alive yet, you don't have a tomorrow here. But if God gives you another day, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. And he says, all such rejoicing is evil. So we find here that James addressing those who were living as if there were no God. If you would study chapter 4 of the book of James, he's addressing those. Some of those were believers that knew that there was a God, but had put that in the background of their minds and are living as if there is no God. Others would be lost. They don't know that there's a God. So James is addressing those who were living as if there were no God and making plans for tomorrow without considering God's will. And he said, this is evil. Now, what does he mean by that? Verse 16, he said, this is evil. It's what Satan wants us to do. If you're led by a spirit of Satan, or if you're led by anything other than the Spirit of God, and if you was here in Sunday morning Sunday school, it's very important for all believers to realize you have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to lead, guide, and direct us. And the only way we can live a spiritual life, accomplishing what God would have us to accomplish, is by yielding to the Spirit of God. Because the flesh will never lead us to do anything spiritual. If you're waiting on the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life to get you to serve God, it'll never happen. The flesh will never lead you to do anything spiritual. It's only by the Spirit of God that we will live to serve God. And we have to yield to the Spirit of God. He will not force anyone to live for Him. He will not force anyone to do right. But if you yield to Him, He will enable you to live as God wants you to live. That is across the above the board to everybody. Everyone who has been saved, you have it within you in the presence of God dwelling in you to be all that God wants you to be and to accomplish everything that God would have you to accomplish. But if we are living as if there is no God, it's evil to make plans without considering God's will. And many will do that. Many lost will say, there's no God. If I'm going to make it, then I've got to make it on my own. I'm going to get to where I want to get any way that I can, No matter who I got to step over, no matter what I've got to do, I'm going to make my fortune. I'm going to climb the ladder of success. I'm going to do this, and no one's going to keep me from this. That's somebody that doesn't even know and believe in a God. They don't believe God exists. But there's others that are saved that know there's a God. But in your mind, you're saying, no, I'm going to live my life as I want to live my life. No preacher is going to convince me otherwise. No other thing is going to be allowed to tell me what to do, whether it's a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a husband or a wife or a boss. Or I'm going to do what I want to do. Got it all planned out. As I think about that, I know that in my own life, I was saved when I was very early on, as a young age of 8, and I really believed I was called to serve the Lord back then, and I prepared. I was going to church all the time. I was all the way up through my teens until I got to about 17, and then I changed, rebelled against the call of God upon my life. During the years of possibly 17, basically through age 21, I had this mentality. I knew that there was a God. I was saved. But my mentality was, when I get old, I'll serve him. While I'm young, I want to live as I want to live. Don't want to be hindered by conviction. I don't want to be hindered by the will of God. I want to do what I want to do. I want to live and make my fortune. And I was set to do that. The problem is, even then, and as I look at where I'm at today, I still don't feel like I'm old. I'm older. Yeah. But if I had to say that I'm old and can't do anything else, and now's the time to serve the Lord, do we ever get to that place? When I was in my 20s, I thought those in their 30s were old. Until I got to my 30s, and I thought, well, those in their 40s are old. Until you get to your 40s, and then you say, those that are in their 50s, that's old. Until you get to your 50s. And now I'm in my 60s. I'm thinking, no, it's at least 80 before you really acknowledge the idea that you're old. Think of it is, if you wait till you get old, you'll never serve God because you'll never see yourself as being old and not being able to live life as you want to live life. It's a thought that the devil would love to put in your mind because that's evil. To say, I want to live my life the way I want to live my life, and I want to do what I want to do. The Bible says that's exactly how Satan wants to work in your life. That's having your life planned out without the will of God. All that is evil. Satan was working to destroy my life even then, hinder me from accomplishing what God would have me to accomplish, blinding me to the reality of the best life is the life yielded to God. Amen. But God revealed to me somewhere around when I was 21, 22, if you want it tomorrow, you need to serve me today. If you want it tomorrow, you need to serve me today. In the book of Psalms in chapter 95, Psalms chapter 95, in verse 6 down to verse 8, the Bible says this, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, this is the will of God, not to put it off and not to plan your life without me. This is God's will for us. He says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. You harden your heart against God to be able to say, I don't care what God wants me to do, I'm going to do what I want to do. See, to live and to plan your life as if there is no God is the most foolish way to live. We have the example of that in Luke in chapter 12 in the New Testament. Jesus gave us this example of someone that had done this in Luke in chapter 12 as a warning to boast not thyself of tomorrow. Planning your life without the will of God, without no thought of the will of God. In Luke in chapter 12 and verse 16, the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself. Many times that's the problem. We just think within ourselves, what do I want? We're not considering God. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods. He's boasting. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, boasting of his tomorrow. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night, meaning you're not going to have it tomorrow. You don't realize it. We always think there's going to be a tomorrow until there's not one. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. You're doing your thing. You're not thinking about God. You're not thinking about anybody else. You're just boasting of what you're going to accomplish in life, what you're going to do. You have your tomorrows all figured out. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, the decisions that we make in this life will determine where and how we live in the next life. Now, if you don't believe there is a life after death, if you don't believe in the spiritual kingdom, then you're going to live as you want to live. Get by with what you can get by with. But when you know it's real, you understand that your life is just a vapor. Eternity's forever and ever. But how we live and the decisions we make in this life will, first of all, determine where we live and how we live there. The Bible says over in the book of John in chapter 5, John chapter 5 and verse 28 and verse 29, John chapter 5 and verse 28, Jesus said to the woman at the well, he says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in that which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Jesus says there's two different judgments here. There's two different eternal lives. Those that have lived their lives without receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior are going to die, and at one day they will be resurrected to only to stand at judgment at the great white throne judgment. And there will be degrees of judgment in an eternal lake of fire, in an eternal hell. But there is an eternal hell. And those that live their life to please themselves and they never look to Jesus Christ and acknowledge they're lost and on their way to a devil's hell and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're going to die in this life, and then they will experience a second death, and that they will die and be cast into an everlasting lake of fire. That's what the Bible teaches. And then there's those that do receive Jesus Christ in this life. And you have opportunity now that you're saved to accomplish things that God wants you to accomplish, for God has a personal will for your life. But if we choose not to live with God in mind as believers, when that day comes, we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat of Christ, every born-again believer will give an account for how he's lived his Christian life. Yeah. That's just what the Bible says. So he says, don't do this. Don't boast of your tomorrows. Don't plan your life without considering God and his will. And then he says, the second part of this is, for thou knowest not. The reason, the best reason not to do that is because you don't know what's on tomorrow. But God does. For we know not what a day may bring forth. This is reality. This life is a vapor. If you live 100 years, it's as a drop in the bucket in comparison to everlasting life. And living your life for the Lord will not only give you his blessings and protection in this life, it will assure you, if it's God's will, that you'll have a tomorrow here, but it will also give you the blessing to know that I have a future in heaven. If I don't have that, what kind of peace does this world have to offer? What kind of true enjoyment will it be if it's brief? Yeah. Anything that has happened to anyone yesterday could happen to you or me tomorrow. We know not what a day may bring, but can I tell you that we've seen a lot of horrendous things happen in the past. We've all seen people die that we thought, what a horrible death. We've all seen things in the past that we would not have to want to live through. Amen. But anything that has happened to anyone yesterday can happen to us tomorrow. If we do not have the protection of God upon our lives, where is the peace coming from? If I don't have a God that I can trust, that holds my future in his hands, where is that peace that passes all understanding? The peace that I have that comes from God that passes all understanding is to know that my future is in God's hands. And I am living as to please him today so that I could have his blessings on tomorrow. The Bible tells us, and many claim this verse over in the book of Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8 and verse 28. And it is a great verse to claim if you qualify. See, this is a conditional promise that God gives. Romans 8, 28 says, and we know, and we can have this confidence, we can know this, that all things work together for good. That's what everyone wants to claim. No matter what happens to me today or tomorrow, it's all going to be for good. There's something good can come out of it. Everything has a purpose in life. And can I tell you, everything does have a purpose in life, but you cannot claim that promise if you do not meet these qualifications. All things work together for good to them that love God. If you love God, then he'll be in your plans for tomorrow. If you truly love God, as Jesus said, you'll obey my commandments. You'll do what I want you to do, what I have commanded you to do. That is proof of your love for me. But if we do not love God, we will not consider his will for our tomorrows. But God controls tomorrow. He doesn't cause everything that happens, but he has to allow anything and everything to happen that happens. Now, 99.9% of the time, I encourage people to understand this. God's going to work through that which he's already established in nature. But at any moment, God can work opposite nature and provide a miracle. And to do things that baffles the human mind. But he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If you're considering God and his will concerning your tomorrows, listen to me, you can claim that. As long as I'm living in God's will, I pray every day for my family. I pray for our church family. I ask God to deliver us from any kind of satanic harm. And I know if I am living in the will of God, then God will answer that prayer. And whatever happens is not brought on by the devil. But God has to allow it. And if he allows it, then there is a purpose of good involved in it. I don't have that promise if Satan is controlling my tomorrows. If I don't have the protection of God, because Satan would love to bring a lot of evil into my life. To steal, kill, and destroy. That's his purpose and plan. If I don't have God's protection, anything could happen to me tomorrow. But if I have God's protection, then I can know that it's going to work together for good. There's another promise that is conditional that we want to claim all the time, and that's found in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful. God is faithful. If you're looking to God, he'll do this for you, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from those things. But he says, God's protection is that he will not put more on me than what I'm able to bear. Unless I'm not considering God. If you're planning your future without God and his will in mind, listen to me. No, there can be more than what you're able to bear, and that could destroy you. You could have that nervous breakdown. You can have that loss of mind, whatever might happen. But if I have considering God and praying that God's will to be done in my life, then I have God's protection and I have God's promise. Amen. That no matter what tomorrow holds, it will not be more than what I can bear. Right. Amen. Yeah. If we're not considering God's will as we live life, we're vulnerable to evil. But if I am considering God's will and I'm living as to please God, listen to me, I can claim God's promises. What a blessing. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Lastly, this morning, understand that God has revealed many things that will happen in the future. If God has revealed that it will happen, you can mark it down. It's going to happen. Just not when. Just not when. Can I tell you that every one of us will face a tomorrow of death? Those who die today, today is their last tomorrow. Yesterday was their last day. Tomorrow, it's come and gone. Physical death. 2.7 million die every year in the United States. 136 accidental deaths in the United States every year, which they would claim as being accidental. There are no accidents in God's timing. But the reality is, physical death will come to all of us. Worldwide apostasy. The Bible says that as we get closer to the end times, that the world will turn away from Christ and Christian principles, and they will lean more to Antichrist. Great apostasy, a falling away from the things of God. That will continue to get worse and worse, but you know, it changes one by one. In America, can I tell you today, America is farther away today than they were last year when it comes to believing in God and believing in the Christian principles. Because it's real. Reality is that apostasy is coming. And it is already here. The thing of it is that some of us in here, tomorrow might hold the day when you're going to turn from your belief in God and serving God and start living as if there is no God. Most of us here could say, yeah, I'm familiar with some that have already done that. Some that I used to serve with, used to be in the church, and used to be next to me in the pew and believed in God and were serving God. Today, they're living as if there is no God. And that's going to continue to happen. When will America get to that place where they are totally antichrist? We're very close. God says it will happen. There'll be great apostasy. And when this apostasy sets in, the Bible says that's when the rapture will take place. The rapture is going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to follow apostasy. It's going to follow the worldwide apostasy, Antichrist. We don't know when, but we do know it's going to happen. If it happens tomorrow, that'll be the end. We won't have any more tomorrows. Apostasy, followed by the rapture, followed by the judgment. Followed by eternity and a new atmosphere and a new earth. I want you to see that. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation, I'm getting ready to close here, but this idea there is, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The reason why we need to consider God and His will in our planning of tomorrows is because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but tomorrow is in God's hands. And He's revealed to us much that's going to happen on tomorrow's, just not when. In the book of Revelation in chapter 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. This is what Jesus Christ said will take place at the end. And I saw a new heaven. That's an atmosphere. We are not going to have the same bodies we have now, so we'll not have the same atmosphere. We won't have the same air to breathe. It will be a different atmosphere in heaven. It's a new heaven and a new earth. There will be an earth. There will be a place that we are going to spend eternity, but it will not be the same earth that we're on now. It's going to be a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Whatever this new land will be, listen, it'll have a different atmosphere because we have a different bodies, and it will not have a sea. There's no need of an ocean. But not only that, if you look over down to verse 23 with me, the Bible says this, and the city had no need of the sun. It will not be a planet. It will not be a planet rotating around a sun. There would be no need for that. And the new city, the Bible says, and I saw it in verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. I don't know, and we cannot comprehend exactly what kind of blessings the new body is going to be. We just know it's going to be a glorified body. We don't know what kind of air we're going to have to breathe. We just know it's going to be celestial air. We don't know what kind of land it's going to be in heaven. We just know that it's going to be far superior than the earth that we live on today. And it is a reality that it's coming. Because God sees tomorrow. He sees into the future. And He said, don't get caught up in this life when I've got so much more planned for you for an eternity. thou knowest not what a day may bring. If tomorrow is your last day on earth, you don't have another opportunity to make spiritual decisions for eternity. If the rapture takes place, you won't have another opportunity as a saved man to make decisions for the future. Eternity's coming. What God has revealed about tomorrow ought to encourage us to live in His will today. That's that. What Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 is all about. What God has revealed about tomorrow, doesn't tell us when, ought to encourage us to live for God. Make our plans based upon God's will and God's ways. If you don't, all other plans and boastings are evil. It's not of God. Today could be and will be the last tomorrow for many. If there's that many deaths, 2.7 million, there'll be quite a few deaths today. We all think we have it tomorrow until we don't. Make the plans based on God's will. Today is the time to do that. Live today as God would have you to live. And let God control our tomorrows. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I don't know, but I am assured of this, God does. And if I'm living in His will today, then God will bless my tomorrows. How close are we to death? How close are we to the world apostasy? How close are we to the rapture, to the judgment, to eternity? Put your tomorrows in God's hands. Get saved. Dedicate your life to God today. Father, we bow before You. We do love You, Lord, and thank You for the truth of Your word. Thank You for this proverb and how You've explained it to us in the book of James. And I pray that as I have presented this morning, God, only You knew exactly how You wanted to use this in the lives of all that are here. But I know this is the message You wanted me to preach, and I pray right now, God, that You'd help everyone here. There's possibly somebody here that will not have it tomorrow. Help each one to make the right decisions while we still have opportunity to do so. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.